The Lord be with you. A reading from the Holy Gospel according to John. Jesus said to Thomas, "I am the way and the truth and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. If you know me, then you will also know my Father. From now on, you do know him and have seen him." Philip said to him, "Master, show us the Father, and that will be enough for us." Jesus said to him, "Have I been with you for so long a time, and still you do not know me, Philip? Whoever has seen me has seen the Father. How can you say, 'Show us the Father'? Do you not believe that I am in the Father, and the Father is in me? The words that I speak to you, I do not speak on my own. The Father who dwells in me is doing his works. Believe me that I am in the Father, and the Father is in me, or else believe because of the works themselves. Amen, amen, I say to you, whoever believes in me will do the works that I do, and will do greater ones than these, because I am going to the Father. And whatever you ask in my name, I will do, so that the Father may be glorified in the Son. If you ask anything of me in my name, I will do it." The Gospel of the Lord. Good. So once again, good morning, brothers and sisters. We are in what we call the Easter season, as all the good daily masses know. The Easter season, as you probably also already know, consists of two parts. The first part of the Easter season are the 40 days that Jesus lived and ate and spoke and conversed with his apostles from when he rose from the dead until he ascended into heaven. And the second part of the Easter season are the 10 days that the apostles waited after Jesus ascended into heaven and until he sent them the Holy Spirit, and you put those together and you've got your Easter season. And the reason why it's so important is because it's in these days that Jesus reveals to us the very heart of our faith. Let me try to explain why. Question for you here this morning. Have you noticed that Jesus' presence after he rises from the dead is somehow different? Something really mysterious is not exactly the same. Before Easter, Jesus is, by every external measure, a perfectly ordinary guy, carpenter from Nazareth. And, you know, just like the prophet said, there's no stately bearing in him, nothing that would attract our attention, totally ordinary. After Easter, though, Jesus is most extraordinary. He does things that no ordinary man could do. Appears and disappears at will. Passes straight through a locked door as if it's a cloud of mist. Seems to be with his apostles whenever he wishes. He kind of comes and goes at will. And maybe the most mysterious of all is people who have known him for years look him straight in the eyes and don't know who he is. I love to think about that resurrection appearance to Mary Magdalene. And the beloved of her heart is standing right in front of her face, and she's talking to him, and she doesn't know who she's talking to. She doesn't recognize him. Or the apostles. Or how about those two disciples on the road to Emmaus? They're sitting there talking to Jesus, walking down the road for half a day, and they don't even know who they're talking to. Why is that? Why is that? You want to know why? It's because after Jesus rises from the dead, you know, it's not like he wakes up from a nap. The life of Jesus after he rises from the dead is as high above the life of that we're living right now as the heavens are above the earth. It's a mysterious life. It's a heavenly life. I don't understand it. I really don't. The only thing I can say is that all those who have gone before us in faith and are right now with the Lord in heaven, they've already begun to live that mysterious, higher, heavenly life. Now, the reason why I mention all that is this. It's because Jesus' presence is always mysterious, because he's always calling us to faith in him. It would have taken extraordinary faith to look at that ordinary man, the carpenter from Galilee, and to say, "My Lord and my God." That wouldn't have been easy, don't fool yourself. And part of the reason why Jesus gives this mysterious appearance, this mysterious presence to his apostles after he rises from the dead, is that he's preparing them to proclaim his next mysterious appearance. Because now, Jesus' presence has passed mysteriously into the sacraments. When you look at the Eucharist, you're looking at Him. It's always been difficult. It's always been mysterious. Now, the value of the apostles is that they saw Jesus in all three of those mysterious appearances. They knew Jesus before Easter. They knew Jesus after Easter and before He ascended into heaven. And they knew Jesus in the sacraments after He ascended into heaven. And you know what the apostles do so with the great service they do for us? They proclaim to us that it's all the same Jesus Christ. That it's all the same Jesus Christ. That's the value of what the apostles proclaim. And that's the value of these feast days of the apostles that we celebrate, like today's feast. Feast of the apostles Philip and James. You may ask, why Philip and James together? Why not James and James? Why not Philip and Thomas or any other combination? It's a very simple reason. That's just the order in which their names appeared in the Gospels. So that's the order in which they ended up getting their feast day. You know what's amazing about these apostles' feast days is that we know almost nothing about them. What do we know about the apostle Philip? Well, the one thing we know for most certain is that Philip led other people to Jesus. Philip found Bartholomew and he said, "Hey, look, I found the one that Moses proclaimed and that Moses promised. I found the Messiah." And Philip found a group of Greeks who were seeking out Jesus, and he says, "Right this way, I can lead you to him." Philip led other people to Christ. And they say that Philip was crucified in Cappadocia in what's now Turkey. And that's about all we know. Then there's James. The James we celebrate today is James the Lesser. And I don't know about you, but I'm not sure I'd want to go down in history known as the Lesser. Right? But why is he known as the Lesser? Speculative. Some people say he's known as James the Lesser because he wasn't part of that inner circle. Peter, James, and John, that wasn't him. Some say he was the Lesser because he was younger. And some say that he was the Lesser because he was shorter. No one's really entirely sure. We know that he's the author of the epistle of St. James in the Bible, the letter that bears his name. And they say that he was stoned to death in Jerusalem. And that's about all we know. Isn't it amazing? These apostles didn't proclaim themselves. And it's a hallmark of those who are growing closer to God. The closer you grow to God, the less you talk about yourself. The closer you grow to Jesus Christ, the more you talk about Him. And aren't we glad that they did? Do you know what these apostles did more than anything else? This is their great gift to us. They taught us firmly, faithfully, and without error where Jesus Christ is to be found. That's what they did for us. Philip says to Jesus, "Just show us the Father and that'll be enough for us." And Jesus says, "When you've seen me, you've seen the Father." Jesus didn't deceive. The apostles did not deceive. They taught for love of you. Let's you and I believe for love of Him. And ask for the prayers of the saints to help us today. Saint Philip and James, pray for us.